14. Matthew chapter 14. This has been one of those weeks and one of those times in preparing for a message. There's so many things I want to tell you before I start that I probably don't have time. I was humbled this week. You know, sometimes, I don't know if this ever happens to you, but I get to thinking a little more of myself than I ought to. And I did that this week, and God gently and reminded me a little bit about who I am and what I've done and things like that, and humbled me a little, and that was okay. I needed it. And then as I was reading this passage that we're going to read this morning, I was reminded about how living the Word of God is. It says, the Bible says that it's quick and powerful, and quick means living. And it's exciting to me how you can read a passage of Scripture that you've read dozens, maybe hundreds of times before, and you find something that you never found before. That's why it's living, because the Holy Spirit is always with us and always helping us and always illuminating our minds as to what the Bible says. I don't know, you probably already knew this, so what I'm going to tell you this morning might not be new to you, but it was a little different to me. Matthew chapter 14. I want to start by reading verses 15 through 17. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart, give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but five loaves and two fishes." This was at a time when Jesus and the disciples had been ministering for quite a while, and they were tired. And they had gone out, the Bible says, to a desert place. That just means an uninhabited place. There weren't a lot of people there. And they had gone there really to rest. But a multitude of people had followed Jesus. And so he had spent the day, along with the disciples, had spent the day ministering to these people. I think the verses ahead of this tell us that he'd even healed their sick. And the day was spent. It was late in the day, late early in the evening, and it was time to eat. And so the disciples didn't want to be responsible for feeding this multitude of people. So they came to Jesus, and they actually told Jesus what to do. One of the few times in Scripture where you'll find that the disciples were telling Jesus something. But they told him, "Send the people away, send the multitude away so they can go buy food to eat." And Jesus said, "They need not depart, give ye them to eat." He said, "No, I want you to feed the multitude. I want you to do it." They responded by saying, "Well, we can't." Are you familiar with those words? "We don't have enough food. We don't have enough money to buy enough food. We can't do it. You need to send them away." Christian, we are the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ on the earth. He left. Physically, he was here, but he left. And when he left, he gave us a commandment. And that commandment was to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, because Jesus saves. And that's a big job. And most of the time, when we're called upon to do something for the kingdom of Jesus Christ, we say, "I can't." That's usually our first response. Now, let's be honest. Usually, that's our first response. "I don't have enough. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough talent. I don't have enough training. I don't have enough experience. Maybe I don't have enough money. But whatever is required, I don't have enough of it. I can't do it." But I want you to know this morning that God wants you to do it. God is telling you, "You feed them." The feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle of Jesus that's recorded in all four gospel writers. There must be a reason for that, and I think there is. It's not just a miracle. It is a model for us to see how to do what God wants us to do. I want to read again. I'm going to start again in verse 15, and we're going to read through 21, Matthew 14, verse 15. "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. They say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to his multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And all they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. The first component in doing what God wants us to do is surrender. When Jesus told the disciples to feed the multitude, they said, we can't do it. We don't have enough. Some of the other gospel writers tell us that he told them, well, go find out what you got. And they come back and said, well, we got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but that's not enough. They told him, that's not enough. This is what we got. We didn't bring it. A little boy brought it, and somehow the disciples got it. I don't know if they wrestled him for it or, you know, but they got it. But it wasn't enough. And so they told Jesus, it's not enough. That's all we got. It's not. You need to send them away. That's what we do, isn't it, to God? Listen, I want you to witness to your neighbor. I want you to be a missionary. Or I want you to send a missionary. I want you to financially support a missionary. Or I want you just to show the love of Jesus to the people around you. When you go to work this week, I want you to model Christian living. Oh, God, I can't do that. Get somebody else. Send somebody else. Let somebody else do it. I can't do it. I don't have enough. That's what the disciples said. We don't have enough. And then verse 18, Jesus said, this is key. Look at what he said. Jesus said, bring them hither to me. All that you've got, give it to me. Surrender all that you have to me. That was a call for them to surrender. God is still issuing to us a call to surrender. The call of salvation is a call to surrender, and we don't like surrender. Surrender is a bad word. It implies defeat. We don't want to be. If we are defeated, we don't want to admit it. It implies exhaustion. You know, you just give up. You just surrender. Well, we don't want to admit that we're giving up on something. You know, while we're strong and we're powerful, we're American. Surrender implies loss of control. Now, that really bugs us. I mean, I don't want to admit defeat, but I sure don't want to lose control. I'm my own man. I'm going to do things my own way. I'm the captain of my own ship. I'm going to decide my own fate. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's what we all think. It's human nature. And yet God says, surrender completely, wholly to me. The first thing that we have to surrender, James chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. We have to give ourselves completely to God. That's confession of sin, that's repentance for that sin, and that's giving ourselves completely, surrendering to God. Luke chapter 14, verse 26, the Bible says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, Jesus said, he cannot be my disciple. That is total and complete surrender. Our own life, even surrender. Now, Jesus never tells us what to do that he doesn't model it for us, and he's going to model it for us when he surrenders his life on the cross of Jesus, on the cross of Calvary. But he calls on us to surrender, and we don't want to do it. I mean, I don't think we do. I don't. We'll give, you know what we do? We bargain with God. Well, listen, I'll surrender this part of my life. I'll surrender to coming to church most of the time on Sunday morning. How about that, God? Wouldn't that be a good deal? I'll surrender part of control, but I'm not going to give you all. Listen, partial surrender is not surrender because there's still resistance. By the definition of the word, surrender is no resistance. We give it all to God. And by the way, in the cause of Jesus Christ And in the plan of salvation, we give it all to God or we don't give any of it to God. Amen. So the first step to doing what God wants you to do is complete and total surrender. The next step is service. Well, we don't like this too much either. There's just not much about this that we like. Verse 19 says, "And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude." I can't tell you how many times I've read this miracle in all 4 Gospels. I've probably preached about it. I even referenced it Wednesday night in our Wednesday night service a little bit. I never realized what it said. Isn't it odd how you can read the Bible and not really know what it says, and then all of a sudden one day you read it and boom, the light comes on. I want you to notice what happened. Jesus said, "Surrender them to me." So the 12 disciples, or a group of the 12 disciples, whoever it was, they surrendered the 5 loaves and the 2 fish to Jesus. He blessed it, and he gave it back to them. Did you catch that? He blessed what they gave and returned it to them. I like that. And then he said, "Listen, I told you." Now, this is not recorded in the words, but he said, "I told you to feed the multitude. So here it is. You do it." And so the Bible says that the disciples fed. The disciples served the multitude. They served Jesus by obeying his command to surrender and to do it. And they literally served the multitude by giving them food. The Christian life is about service. Jesus modeled service. I've already mentioned that to you. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, Jesus said, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus served man. He had just served man when he told the disciples to serve man. He had healed their sick. He had taught them the gospel message. His whole life, his whole ministry, his 3 years of ministry on earth, it was all about service. He healed the sick. He caused the lame to walk and the blind to see and the deaf to hear. He raised the dead. He taught. He served. And then he served ultimately by giving his life on the cross of Calvary for everybody. He is a model of service. And then he commanded us as his children to serve. We all want to be like Jesus, don't we? "Oh man, I want to be like Jesus." Well then, be a servant. Well, now, I didn't mean that, you know. I want to be king like Jesus. I want to be son of God like Jesus. I want to rule and reign like Jesus. And Jesus said, "He that will be greatest among you, let him be servant." In Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Our service to God must be complete and it must be exclusive. Matthew 6:24, Jesus said, "No man can serve 2 masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Now that goes back to that partial surrender stuff, doesn't it? I have seen and I have dealt with occasionally young people who are not married, but they're dating. And on occasion, I've seen and dealt with a Christian young person who was dating an unsaved young person. And this is what their life said: "God, I love you and I want to serve you and I'll do anything for you, but I will not give up my boyfriend or my girlfriend." That's not total surrender. You can't serve God and mammon. "God, I'll do anything for you, man. I'll serve you. I'll worship you. I'll come to church, but don't ask me to pay tithes. I make a lot of money." It's not too hard to pay tithes on a $10 bill, is it? That's just a dollar. Oh, I can put a dollar in the plate. $100? Oh, that's just $10. I can do that. $1,000? Well, it's getting a little tougher, but it's just $100. So how about if you make $1 million? That's a big check. "I'll do anything, Lord, except that." Well, you can't serve God and man. You can't serve God and money. You can't serve God and your boyfriend and your girlfriend. You can't serve God and your spouse. You can't serve God and your children. You can't serve God in your talent or your time or whatever else it might be, your job, your profession. You can't serve God and your friends. You cannot serve God and mammon. You will hate the one and love the other. Jesus said it can't be done. Service must be exclusive. And He said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. In our service to God, we must serve other people. Don't mind serving God too much. After all, He's God. But now, what about my brothers? Shouldn't my brothers and sisters in Christ be serving me? I mean, after all, the Bible says, serve one another. Shouldn't they be serving me? Yes, they should. And you should be serving them. Galatians 5:13 says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Would you like to know what's happening right now in heaven? Sometimes I get to thinking about heaven, and I'm doing that more and more. But sometimes I get to thinking about what's happening in heaven. Did you know the Bible tells us what's happening in heaven this very minute? Revelation 7:15 says, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. In heaven right now, saints are serving God. Listen, Christian, we might as well get used to it because we're going to be doing it for all of eternity. Might as well get used to serving God and serving one another. Just this morning, as I came into the church, and I always go through my message because I'm never sure I'm going to get it right, right up to the time I'm done. And it occurred to me as I was going through some of this that there may be somebody here who's asking the question, well, hey, really, why should I surrender to God? Who does He think He is? Why should I serve God? Why should I serve other people? Listen, life is all about me. You read the books. You listen to the radio. You watch the television. You listen to the philosophers. It's all about me. Everybody needs to pay attention to me. I am entitled. I deserve. I should get. Why should I surrender? Why should I serve? And the answer is this. God is the judge. You may not believe that. That's okay. That's your privilege. That's your freedom. God has allowed us the freedom to reject or accept Him. And you may not believe that God is a judge, but guess what? He is. You can't change the truth. And the truth is God is the judge, ultimately and finally. When we die, we will stand before God in judgment. If you could talk to any person who has passed away, they would tell you, listen, that's the truth. And those who reject God now, those who refuse to surrender to God now, those who refuse to serve God now will be rejected by God at judgment and suffer eternity in the fires of hell. That's a pretty good reason to surrender and serve. There are lots of good reasons. There's another one I want to mention this morning. And that is when we surrender to God, we get to be part of a miracle. It goes like this. We surrender to God who we are and what we have. God blesses it, you remember, and then He returns it to us. That's what He did to the disciples. And then He tells us to use what He has given to us to serve Him and to serve others. And that's when the miracle happens. It happened here. And that brings us to the last component in doing what God wants us to do. And that's the satisfying. This is the best part of it. At least for me, this is the best part. Surrender, I'm not real crazy about. I'm going to try to do it, but I'm not real crazy about it. Service, sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I'm not real crazy about it. I'm going to try to do it, but honestly, sometimes I'd just rather not. But I like the satisfying all the time. Verse 20. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. I want you to notice, I'd never paid attention to this. I want you to notice the phrase, they did all eat and were filled. You know what that means? It means they were all satisfied. You ever occasionally, it doesn't happen very often, but occasionally Cheryl will cook something for supper and I'll eat it and I wish there was more. You know, I'm just not quite satisfied. It was good and I really liked it. There just wasn't quite enough. Now, I wish I hadn't said that because she's going to start making more. Man alive. But you felt that way, haven't you? Whatever, maybe it's food, maybe it's entertainment, maybe it's time with family or friends, maybe it's time with the Lord. You, when it's all over, when it's done, you're just not quite, you just wish there'd been a little bit more. In that multitude of people, there wasn't one single person who wished for more because they were all filled. They were satisfied. I got to thinking about that, and you realize there were 5,000 men. The Bible tells us the word used there for males means male men, adult men. So there were 5,000 men plus women and children. Some have estimated perhaps up to 20,000 people. I don't know how many there were, but however many there were, if it was just 5,000, that's a miracle, right? But they were all filled, satisfied. Maybe they all laid down and took a nap. That's what I do when I get full. And I got to thinking about that, and I realized, I think maybe for the first time, that the disciples, those 12 guys, were a part of the satisfying of those people. They surrendered what they had to God. God blessed it, returned it to them. They served it to the people, and the people were satisfied, and they got to be a part of that. They were a conduit of a blessing. They were the conduit of a miracle. I like that. I want to be part of a miracle. I want to be the conduit through which God blesses people and affects people and changes people and does miracles. I like that. Those few times that I've been able to pray with someone and they've received Christ as their Savior, I've been a part of a miracle. Salvation is a miracle. Only God can do it. Isn't that wonderful? When you prayed and accepted Christ as your Savior, you were the part of a miracle. I've heard people say, oh, well, God doesn't do miracles anymore. Of course He does. Every time somebody is saved, it's a miracle. But there's more to this. The little boy, he was filled. He was satisfied. The disciples, they got to eat, so they were filled. They were satisfied. But then the Bible says that there were 12 baskets full left over. I got to thinking about those 12 baskets. Why 12? You know, I don't know if you do that, but I ask questions like that when I read the Bible. I don't know if I'm weird or what, but I wonder why not 10 or 50 or why not 5,000 or why not 20,000, however many there were. There were 12. There were 12 disciples. Could it be that because those 12 guys surrendered and because those 12 guys served that God blessed them? Not just with the satisfaction of the food, but God blessed them. He gave them more than what they had to start with. He gave them 12 baskets, each of them a basket full of food. The basket was literally like a backpack or something that we would carry, an individual bag that people carried in those days, and they carried their food in it. When they got to this desert place, the 12 disciples had their baskets, but they were empty. They didn't have any food. That's what they told Jesus. We don't have anything. There's a little boy here, but we've got nothing. After they surrendered and after they served, they had a full basket of food. Did you catch that? Full. We want God to bless us. I don't know a Christian in the world that doesn't want God to bless them. We want God to bless us. If you will surrender completely to God. I mean, all you are, everything you have, every part of your life, if you will surrender it completely to God. And then if you'll serve Him with everything that He has given you, He will bless you fully. Amen. That's the abundant life that He's talking about. I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's the blessings. That's the overflowing joy and the blessings of God. But it only comes when we obey Him. And it only comes when we surrender to Him and when we serve Him. Then we're part of a miracle. And our cup, our basket, is full and overflowing. Would you stand with me this morning?